Thank you for your generous participation in the offering this morning, the folks this side, the folks that side. Bless you, the folks watching online, at home. Thank you for your faithful commitment, continuously contributing to the accounts financially, making sure you returning God's tithes to Him as well as your weekly offerings. We really appreciate it. And God sees every cent, and God sees the motive of your heart. So the Lord bless you for that. It's my privilege once again this morning to share the Word of God with you. It's good to see you. This is I like this kind of weather. It's like on a kind of Murantis or Pamanir. And it's not as cold as it has been. But any day, regardless, it's the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in Him. Hallelujah. This morning's message is entitled, Open Ears, Open Eyes, and Open Hearts. Matthew 13 and verse 15. Should come up on the board. If not, you can follow on your device or reading your Bibles. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to freely read your word. We thank you for the privilege of being able to freely get together. Here it is iets so besonders en spesiaal aangaande die bymekaarkoms van die gelowiges. Dankie vir die voorreg dat u dit goed sien om die Heilige Gees onder ons te laat beweeg in ons midde, om ons harte aan te raak en ons lewens te kan verander. Here, dankie vir u belofte van die teenwoordigheid waar twee of meer vergader is, is u daarso in ons midde. O, dankie Heilige Gees vir u werking in ons lewens vandag. Dankie dat ons nie hoef staat te maak op 'n man om 'n boodskap te bring, om myself ingesluit, Here, ons besef en ervaar en bely ons het U nodig, Here, elke oomblik van elke dag, so ook in hierdie paar minute wat ons saam met mekaar die woord van God gaan deel. Heilige Gees, werk in ons harte, raak ons aan, verander ons lewens, dat ons meer en meer soos Jesus Christus sal word en meer lief wees vir God as wat ons was voordat ons by mekaar gekom het. And Lord, we're not asking for hundreds and hundreds of views on social media platforms or likes and thumbs ups and subscriptions. We just want, Lord God, every person that needs to hear what you have to say, that they would hear, that their lives would be changed to the praise and glory of your name. And we thank you for that, eternal God, our loving Father. And all the people of the Most High God said, Amen and Amen. Hallelujah. It says, for the hearts of these people are hardened and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes so that their eyes cannot see and their ears cannot hear. And their hearts cannot understand and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. I want to add to that this morning by saying this. If we have anything other than a positive outlook for the future, then it means my eyes cannot see, my ears cannot hear, and my heart is hardened. If I have anything other than a positive outlook, hoe moeilik is dit dan nie in vandag se tyd, mense? Kom ons wees eerlik met mekaar. Ons het soveel om oor te kla en te moan en om oor negatief te wees. As ons kyk na the signs of the times, ons kan net doom en gloom voorspel. Is dit nie so nie? Maar ons moet die waarheid glo. If we have anything other than a positive outlook, it means there's something wrong with my eyes, my ears, and my heart. If we have anything other than a positive outlook for the future, then we're not seeing things from God's perspective. Do you think heaven is facing any kind of a crisis right now? Is there any kind of a shortage in heaven? Is there any kind of complex social problem that God can't fix? Is there any kind of broken economy in heaven? Is there any shortage of anything in heaven? So if my outlook is anything other than positive, and my heart just goes out towards Andre this morning, and I'm sure there's many others watching that serve in the South African police. As jy wil blootgestel word aan goeters om oor negatief te wees, nee, dan loop net 'n dag, daai man se skoene. Is nie so nie, Andre? But it takes somebody who loves God, who's filled with the Spirit, to see God in all of this mess. There must be a solution somehow in all of this. If I have anything other than a positive outlook, then it means we need to align ourselves with the Word of God. And this simply means that we must allow the Word of God to renew our minds. And it all depends on where your position determines how you see things. This is the morning of volunteers. I want to ask my three volunteer ladies to come up to the front here, please, and stand right on this top step. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to ask Diane to stand in the middle, Shirlane on one side, and Madeleine right on the very top, Madeleine on the other step, and I'll ask Diane to put her arm around the waist of either of these ladies. Top step, yeah, there's one more, top step. Put their arm around these ladies. There you go. This side, there we go, I say. So, as you can see, I'm going to take a seat so that you can see. Diane has got her arms around their waist, right? No. It appears to look like that. But actually, there's another perspective. Okay, ladies, turn around. That's what's actually happening. Give them a round of applause. Woo-hoo! You see, from my little small perspective here on earth, ek mag dalk dinge sien nie soos wat die Here dit sien nie. I could see myself like my blind star on the issues van die dag. But from God's perspective, wat alom weet, alom teenwoordig is en alwetend. Nie alomwetend nie, hy's alwetend. He's omniscient, he knows everything, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, and he's omnipotent, he's all powerful. That's not the truth. So it might appear, Diane's not the enemy, might appear that the enemy's got you fast, but he's not. We need God's perspective. If I get taken to, wie van julle het al gesien op ons highways gery nie, there's massive, huge billboards. Those huge things. And if I take one of you, I take you and I get you on my scooter or in the car and I blindfold you and I climb up the scaffolding to get up there, op die leertjies vir daar so is, and I put your nose right against those things, and I take the blindfold, and I say, right, open your eyes. Are you going to see the big picture? There is no ways in God's earth that you're going to see the big picture. You're going to have to change your position to get the truthful perspective of what you're looking at. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you right now on this little blue marble, there are millions and millions of people who need a change in their perspective to see things the way God sees things, because there's people who have eyes that do not see. They've closed their eyes. They have ears that do not hear. They have hearts that are hardened. And God says, you need to let your eyes be opened, your ears be opened, your hearts be changed so that I can come and punish you and straf you and jou beskuldig van dit wat jy in elk geval weet jy verkeerd doen. Nee, that I can come and heal you. That's God's heart. That's God's heart. I believe we need to be at a place in our lives where we need to see the urgency of the hour. How many of you have heard that saying before? There is nobody as blind as those who do not want to see, and as deaf as those that do not want to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, today, years ago, youngsters would lie about their age just so they could be drafted into the army to go and fight for their country. And today, spineless, yellow, livid wimps of people that are male by birth but so far removed from a man, you say something and they offended and hurt. What? What's happened to this world? Also with the gospel, people want to water it down, so that it doesn't offend or hurt anybody. You know how many people Jesus ticked off proper in his day? He didn't go out of his way to offend people, but he called it the way the Father gave it to him, and that's it. That's it. And today people hate to hear the truth, and the truth is perceived as hate when you hate the truth. We're so careful about it's got to be politically correct and not hurt anybody and not offend anybody and sugarcoat the message of God. Folks, if If what we are preaching from this church is anything other than the way and the message of Jesus, please find another church and pray dat ek tot my sin kom. Please. We must be sure that we're preaching the message like Jesus preached. Jesus addressed the issue of sin from time to time, people. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword of division that's going to turn a father against his children, a children against him. Why? Because daar gaan sommige mense wees wat wil saam met God gaan en ander wat nie wil nie. And that's the place where we are at, where people just don't want to hear what the Lord has to say. Now imagine this, when it comes to, let's look a little bit at our perspectives again and the way we see things. Imagine what it must have been like for the Israelites. Here, Pastor Moses comes, God raises him up with Aaron and his team, and they come and deliver the people out of the slavery and the bondage that's found in Egypt. And God says, right, vat jou goed en vai, go. And they plundered the Egyptians where the Egyptians somewhat give them. So just take the best of whatever you see. They didn't have to fight for it. They didn't have to claim it. They didn't have to come with lawyers' letters. The Egyptian just said, yeah, take it. That's why the scripture says in Proverbs that the wealth of the unjust is stored up for the righteous. Folks, meditate on that a little bit. The wealth of the unjust is stored up for the righteous. That means every corrupt, every godless, multi-billion, million, trillion, zillion, 11, 10, 6 point whatever out there, that wealth is stored up for you, mits ons hart in die regte plek is. Think about that. So that's how they plundered the Egyptians. But anyway, enough about the wealth stuff. That's for another time. So they're out of Egypt and they're on their way. And on their way to the promised land, a journey that should have taken 11 days took 40 years. Want hulle was bietjie hardnekkig. They moaned and complained and groaned, said, God, we want here. Refused to believe God. None of you in this church are like that. You know other people in other churches that are like that. Amen. Nobody agrees. It was a good place to say amen. So picture this. You can check it out in Exodus 14. They got the Egyptian army behind them. And what's in front of them? The sea. And I submit to you that daar is nie een van hulle wat hulle self geag het as 'n water walker. So you got the Egyptian army behind you, and you got the sea in front of you. Please let your imagination run wild this morning and imagine what it was like for them. The Egyptian army behind them and the sea in front of them. It's an impossible situation. My brother, my sister, perhaps you finding yourself in that exact position this morning. You've got whatever it is, all the hordes of hell behind you chasing you down. So fooled it on. And you've got an impossible obstacle in front of you. But God. Everybody say, but God. You see, but God had a man of obedience. God had a man of faith. Pastor Moses. And all that he had been, he stood before God was a staff, man. He says, God, how can I tell Pharaoh to let the people go? I can't speak properly. He came with all the excuses. And God says, dude, what's in your hand? He's like, huh? This? He says, yeah, watch me use this. God says to Moses, lift up your staff and watch the waters part. You see, God had already made a pathway. God already knew he's going to part the waters of the seas. Send the wind to came, and it blew, and it blew, and it blew, and it shifted the water aside that the Israelites could walk through on dry ground. Hallelujah. God made a way. He made a way. And God says, and then the scripture says how the waters came. Once the Israelites passed through, the waters came, drowned all Egyptenare daar. So it says that God took the wheels off the chariots. Guess what? They've done excavations at their site. Guess what they found? Chariots with the wheels off. I know, Jude, that gets me excited. Maybe it will sink in a bit. That proves the word of God again so many times. So imagine they had to change their perspective. I wonder what it was like for Moses. Ask him also. Moses was all thinking, yes, Lord, you've got to do something. God, you've got to do something, please. And the waters part. And the people are like, yeah. And Moses is like, of course, man. What did you think? Of course God had a plan. Come and like, duh. Meantime, in himself, for sure, he was also thinking, God, you've got to do something here. You've got to do something. It's amazing how one man's obedience caused deliverance of multitudes. So, how many people's lives have been positively changed as gevolg van jou gehoorsaamheid, my broer, my sister, vanoggend, in jou wandel met die Here waar jy jouself vind. Imagine the changed lives on the other side of your obedience. Can I get an amen this morning? You see, God knew His plan. Then in Ezekiel 37, we see the Ezekiel, prophet Ezekiel. It's an abstract book there. It's hectic stuff. God takes him in the spirit and He shows him. Let's just read that passage of scripture, Ezekiel 37. Let's go there quickly, if you will, please. So imagine this. Imagine this, just a couple of verses quickly. Ezekiel 37. All right. So the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor, and they were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Imagine the bones are dried out, ne? And then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? Like, really? And oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. And then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones. How many of you have heard that song, Bones? What, Rattling Bones or whatever, by Elevation Worship? There. Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. Yeah. Right. Dry bones, yalla. How many of you have eaten a lekker piece of braaivleis and jy daai been gelek en is daar vir 'n dag of twee of miskien 'n paar ure jy wil vir die hond gooi. Imagine God says, now I'm going to bring all of that juicy, lekker, medium rare meat back with all the seasoning and how did I get on this? Ach, I don't know. Miskien is dit tyd vir 'n vleisie. Gaan nou braai. He says, I'll breathe life into you, make you live again. I'll put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Folks, maybe there's a situation we are in that God wants us to know that He is Lord, where we're faced with an impossible situation. Imagine all you see. What do you see in this valley before you? Dry bones. And God says, speak to those bones. Speak to those bones. Call on things that be not as though they are. Speak to those dry bones. And I spoke this message, verse 7, just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all around the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Well, that's great, but still just a skeleton. You can't do much with a skeleton. Hello. And then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. And then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. And they said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, sons of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bones so that they may live again. In verse 10, we end with a highlight, folks. It says, so I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet. That's great. A great army. An impossible situation. Maybe you faced with a situation in your life where al wat voor jou is uitgedroogde bene. God wants to quicken a word into your heart. He wants to quicken His word into your heart for you to say, dit is dan so. Who's got an injury this morning? Somewhere, an injury. Niemand nie, 'n besering. Okay, I've got a tendon that's ripped off my bicep over here, torn ligaments in my shoulder, waar nog, sal wat ek nou kan onthou. So, that's the facts. The facts is, al stikkende gedeeltes van hierdie liggaampie. There's two numbers, 52, they've been reversed. A couple of years ago it was 25, oh, I wish it was like that, but they've been reversed, it's like 52. Ek's nog 'n snotkop, laat die nog nat achter die ore. But the fact is, I've got some kwale, man. Those are the facts. But the truth is, I can say, be healed. You get the facts. Maybe God wants to quicken His word into your life that you can look at the facts of the sea in front of you and the armies behind you and the dried out bones, where He wants to quicken a word into your heart that you can speak His word into the situation and change it. Maybe that's where God wants us, people. You know, if we want to achieve what we never have, we're going to have to do what we've never done. And if we do what we've always done, we're going to get what we've always got. Think, oh, look, nee. But if this church, us as individual Christians and the body of Christ, are going to do stuff that we've never done, we're going to have to face things we've never faced. Hello? We're going to have to face things that we've never faced. The faith that we had for yesterday's stuff, dis presies waar dit is. Gistersin. Wat van môre se uitdagings? You think to yourself, oh, Mozzie, I'm still trying to get through today. No praat jy van môre. Yeah. What about tomorrow's challenges? I believe God wants us to get to that place where as our faith grows, it's going to be tested. That which we claim and receive from God is going to be tested so that we can make sure that it is ours and He can filter the dross away from the silver. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when He appears to set up His kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Wow. Wow. They will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Ah, you know, that's the time that we are in. That's the time that we are in. So, our responsibility is as follows from that passage of Scripture. 5 points just quickly and we're going to land this thing. Fivefold responsibility: to preach, correct, rebuke, encourage with good teaching. Okay, so, preach the Word. We must all preach the Word. We must make sure that it is the Word of God that we preach and not our opinion. Nee, hierdie gemors van Jesus already come and there is no rapture and there is no Trinity talk, man. People say there is no rapture because the Word is not in the Bible. But it's done in pictures so that even a fool can see it. So ook van die Heilige Drieheid. The word Trinity is not in Scripture. But it's there in picture form so that it is clear as daylight. Make sure that what we're preaching is the Word of God. Can I get an amen to that? So we have a responsibility to preach. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, the B part. Work at telling others the good news. That's the message, the Scripture. And fully carry out the ministry God has given you. So we need to preach the Word. That's what we need to preach. Not our opinion and our ideas. Oftentimes people come to me and say, Mozzie, I'd like your opinion on something. I tell them, yeah, my opinion is just that. It's an opinion. It's like a... No, I'm not going to go there. Your opinion. You see, I'm a weapons enthusiast. I like guns. Anything better than guns is more guns. And there's this thing about calibers. They say, everyone thinks he's got the best caliber and none of them are wrong. Ons almal het ons hierdie roer van my. Daar's geen beter kaliber. And he's right. Everybody thinks they got the best caliber and none of them are wrong. But when it comes to the Word of God, I cannot give you my opinion. I must give you the Word of God. That's it. That's it. You say, yeah, but Mozzie, hasn't man changed the Word of God with all his misprinted Bible? No, you can't change the Word of God. And we've got the Holy Spirit who will lead us in all truth because He is the Spirit of truth. Mankind can't change the Word of God, yella. You can't. It's like you trying to make winds with your arms like this against a tornado. You can't stand a chance, man. You can't stand a chance. You can't do anything against the Word of God. So, responsibility number one, preach the Word of God. Responsibility number two, patiently correct. It's going to require patience. Folks, there's no quick fix. Daar's nie 'n ABC gebed, stap 1, 2, 3, dan is jou issues gefix nie. Dit bestaan nie as ek kom by geestelike goeders. Nothing in worthwhile in life comes quickly. Nothing worthwhile in life comes quickly. Dit werk net nie so nie. So we need to patiently correct. It's going to take patience. Sometimes I lose my patience with people. And I think, yeah, Mozzie, you muhu. How many years did it take you? How many years did it take you for God to get your attention? 20. 20. Yet to allow the devil to drive me to the point of suicide where I was sitting in my bed trying to choose which gun is going to kill me the quickest, the one from the cops or my own 357 Rolly. I had to be completely broken before I let God fix me, before I said, okay, Jesus, yeah, surrender. I prayed a sinner's prayer and I didn't know. I said, God, I cannot take this anymore. Please come into my life and take over. And I felt this burden lifted off my shoulders. I fell asleep. I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks before that. And I woke up the next morning and I knew something was different. I was born again. Patience. 20 years. Imagine if God had him gewip met my. I'd be in hell right now, shoveling coals, working since the early light. I'm busy stoking that fire, bro. That's where I'd be. Yalla lach, maar is die waarheid. That's where I'd be. I'd be in hell. That's where I'd be. Patiently correct. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who's the head of his body, the church. Speak the truth, how? Met love. Nee, hey, jy moet goed, jy moet regkom. Met die Bybel in hom. Hey, you jerk. Oh, Kim, he's not a jerk. I just met him. We go back like 30 minutes. He's a great oak. No, not like that. And this came to mind when I was preparing this. People won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You see, you can be 100% correct, but just do it in a way that's not receptive, that's not loving, that's not caring, that's not. If it die ding van, if ever you're going to look down on somebody, it must be to pick that person up. So that's how we must teach one another in with the love and teach people like that. Third point, we must rebuke. Rebuke, ja, somtijds het ons nodig om getuchtig te word. Must rebuke, okay? The scripture says, God says, as many as he loves, these he rebukes. He rebukes those who he loves. And a rebuke is, you're wrong. You've stepped out of line. It is not called for. It's not in line with my plan and purpose for your life. It's not fitting for the kingdom. It's not forthcoming from a child of God. Stop it. Stop it. It's a rebuke. Be willing to tell it like it is, even if it offends those who don't want to hear. I remember the first time God laid something on my heart to speak to my brother-in-law who's gone to be with Jesus now. I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord, actually. Yeah, that was one of them. And the Lord, I just felt, oh, but what if I offend him? What if I hurt him? And I wrestled through. And then that scripture in 1 John 4:18 that says, a perfect love casts out truth, came to mind. And I realized that, Mozzie, what is your motive? Do you want to prove him wrong and you right so that you can fang biki shine? No. My motives, I love this man. I want him to get onto the straight and narrow and see that there's a better path for his life. And when I realized that, God helped me realize, Mozzie, what is your motive for speaking into his life? It's love. Perfect love casts out fear. I have no fear. If he rejects, I've just been obedient and shared the love of God with him. That's between him and the Lord, where he receives what I teach in love. Marked it sin. So my brother, my sister, I want to encourage you. If you're at a place in your life where you're perhaps afraid or have reservations, you might offend the person. Examine your heart. Do you want to prove them wrong? Do you want to shame them and embarrass them? Or do you love them? Do you want them to come into a better relationship with the Lord? Speak the truth in love. Patiently rebuke. Tell it the way it is, even for those that do not want to hear. Point number four. Oh, yeah. Okay, I want to give you scriptures there. Romans 15 and verse 31. If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. Not all criticism is bad. In fact, we must listen to all criticism, that which is truthful and even that which is not. And you take that with a pinch of salt. So, Proverbs 15 and verse 31. If you listen to constructive criticism, you'll be at home among the wise. Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. Ouch! Point number four, two to go. Encourage. We need to encourage. Focus on building up and not breaking down. I love this description given of Joseph, not Jesus. Joseph is also known as Barnabas in the scripture. In Acts 4, verse 36, it says he was known as the son of encouragement. What are you known for? Jy's die brommer by die werk. You moan and groan and complain. Only difference between you and a battery is that a battery's got a positive side. What are you known for? No, suck. Like, I love the Lord. I'm so overcome with joy. I'm just filled with happiness. Yeah, just let your face know. Come on, man. You know, it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. Give your face a break and smile, man. Sublief doch. Come on. What are we known for? This guy, known as a son of encouragement. A son of encouragement. In our teaching and the messages that we bring, is it always trying to fix something that we think is broken, or is it encouragement? I hope and pray that you're feeling encouraged this morning somehow. I hope and pray. Otherwise, I'm not a son of encouragement. And point number five, good teaching. Our message must be spiritually sound. Said it must be the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. So folks, om hier op te som vir oggend. One of the titles I was thinking about this message was, what's the time? The scripture says, we're in this time in 2 Timothy 4 verse 1 to 3. We said, the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. That's the time. What do we do about it? When ears do not want to hear, eyes do not want to see, hearts do not want to receive the healing that the Lord wants to bring. And our responsibility is in that passage of Scripture, all in verse 2 and 3, to preach, patiently correct, to rebuke, to encourage with good teaching. That's our responsibility this morning. So I'd like us to do something practical this morning for ourselves and also people that you want to pray for this morning. In ourselves, for ourselves, in humility, we pray for ourselves this morning. Let's physically touch our eyes as we pray and say, Lord, open these eyes in the name of Jesus. Help me to see things from your perspective, Lord God. As we looked at those ladies this morning, that it appeared that the one in the middle had her arms around either one on the side, but it wasn't like that, Lord. Help me to see things the way you see things in Jesus' name. And then let's touch our eyes, our ears. We'll say, Lord, give me ears to hear what the Spirit of God says. Give me ears to discern what your word says, Lord. Open my ears that I can hear and understand in the name of Jesus Christ. And let's touch our hearts and say, Lord, remove a heart of stone, Lord God, and replace it with a heart of flesh that is willing to learn and willing to grow and willing to change, Lord. And Lord, once my ears have been opened, once my eyes have been opened, and once my heart has been changed that I can hear from you and receive from you, help me to lovingly teach. Help me to rebuke, Lord. Help me to patiently correct, Lord. Help me to encourage, Lord, in the name of Jesus, with good teaching, those whose eyes are not yet opened, whose ears are not yet open, and whose hearts are not yet changed. Help me to be a person of encouragement this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank you for making the time to listen this morning. We love and appreciate you. The Lord bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Go out there in the week, be a person of encouragement, and do random acts of kindness to somebody just because you can. We love you and appreciate you. Stand with us as we worship the Lord one more time with some powerful song that's going to come up in a few moments. Hallelujah. Bless you. Thank you for listening. We love and appreciate you guys.